Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 14 through 20, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. This is the gospel of the Lord. The ascension of Christ into heaven is a major event in the history of the human race. Historically, the Lutheran Church celebrated this festival, even today, after most Germans have abandoned the Christian religion as something to believe. Ascension Day is still a national holiday in Germany. Few churches in America still celebrate it. It falls on a Thursday, 40 days after Easter and 10 days before Pentecost. Ascension is no longer considered to be such a significant event, but it is. Christ's ascension into heaven is what guarantees every Christian's ascension into heaven. Christ's ascension into heaven happened. It's not just a myth that was invented by the early church to express their hope in a life to come. It happened. It was recorded by eyewitnesses. St. Mark writes, "So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." St. Luke goes into more detail. In the Acts of the Apostles, he writes, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" 1,000 years before Christ ascended into heaven, it was foretold by the psalmist David, who wrote in Psalm 68, "You have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive." St. Paul writes, "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things." Christ did not ascend into heaven to be confined in a geographical space. As Paul wrote, he ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Heaven and hell cannot be located on a map. The Bible consistently uses picture language to describe what can't be understood in any other way. The most beautiful descriptions of heaven, for example, are the symbolic descriptions found in the Revelation of St. John. Throughout the Bible, heaven is pictured as being up, and hell is pictured as being down. God is up, the devil is down. The symbolism is obvious. God is above us. Heaven is where God is. In fact, the word God and heaven are often used interchangeably. In heaven, we will be with God and enjoy perfect fellowship with God. Heaven is the most beautiful, the most wonderful, the most peaceful place. There is no sin in heaven. And that means there is no sickness, no death, no sorrow, and no pain. There is pure joy without a taint of regret or sadness. At Bethel, Jacob dreamed of a ladder reaching up to heaven with angels ascending and descending on it. It was a picture of what was to come. His descendant Jesus was that ladder. Jesus said to Nathanael, after Nathanael confessed him to be the Son of God and the King of Israel, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Christ is the ladder to heaven. Christmas is when we celebrate God's incarnation. God became a man. He was born. We confess Mary to be the mother of God because the child she bore was not just a baby boy, he was also the eternal God. Everything Jesus did, he did as true God and true man. Jesus, true God and true man, was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus, true God and true man, suffered and died on the cross for us all. Jesus, true God and true man, rose from the dead on the third day. Jesus, true God and true man, ascended into heaven to claim his authority as King of kings and Lord of lords with almighty power to rule the whole universe. Christ, in his human nature, always had all divine powers, but he did not always use all of them. When he was hanging on the cross, they mocked him. They said, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." The man they were mocking was the Son of God. He had almighty power to come down from the cross, but he remained on the cross by not exercising his divine power to save himself from suffering. He won for us release from all our suffering by bearing the imputation of the sin of the whole world against him. He washed away all of our sins. In our own human nature, God confronted all evil and overcame. God won the victory of good over evil, of righteousness over sin, of health and well-being over sickness and misery, of life over death. He won this victory by becoming a human being and doing what he required humanity to do. God became our brother. Jesus came forth from the Father. He was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. Jesus returned to the Father. He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Before he came forth from the Father, he shared eternal glory with him. After he returned to the Father, he shared eternal glory with him. But now, he is true man, our brother, one of us. We belong to him. We are flesh of his flesh and bones of his bones. We are his church. As the hymnist puts it, he has raised our human nature on the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places, there with him in glory stand. Jesus reigns adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. By our mighty Lord's ascension, we by faith behold our own. Where he is, we shall be. The head cannot be where the body is absent. The body cannot be where the head is absent. Wherever the gospel of Christ is proclaimed, there is Christ. There he is, exercising all authority. The right hand of God is God's almighty power. Christ exercises his almighty divine power in his church. It doesn't look like much. But whenever you hear the gospel and believe that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, for the sake of his suffering and dying, Christ is reigning over you as your king. Because the power that he exercises as King of Kings and Lord of Lords is the power to save sinners. As he said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. There was a popular song sung back in the 60s that included the refrain, "Tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction." There was nothing particularly Christian about the song. You don't have to be a Christian to see that this world isn't headed toward heaven. Take a look at what's going on throughout the world today and consider the words of our Lord Jesus recorded in St. Matthew chapter 24. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." The gospel sets free, false gospels enslave. Where Christ's gospel is proclaimed, sinners, bound in service to selfishness and self-centeredness, are forgiven of their sins and set free from their power. Where the obedience of Jesus is proclaimed as our righteousness before God, we are saved. We are rescued and delivered from the sin within us, the lies of Satan, and the death that clings to our bodies. We are transported from earth to heaven. That's what the gospel does. It has the power of him who sits at the right hand of the Father. He provided the signs of casting out demons, speaking in tongues, surviving venomous snake bites and poison, and healing the sick by touch. If you read through the Acts of the Apostles, you see how the signs Jesus promised would follow those who believe did follow those who believed. He made the prophecy, and the prophecy was fulfilled. But note by looking at the words recorded here in St. Mark's Gospel that Jesus did not command these signs. He promised that they would happen. And he never said that these signs would continue throughout the history of his church. Whereas St. Paul clearly states in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, that tongues, the gift of tongues, will cease. So these signs that were given in the early church were never promised to continue throughout the history of the church, but Christ did command that the gospel be preached until the end of time, and that baptism be administered until the end of time. So the gospel and sacraments retain their power to save sinners until the end of time, long after the miraculous signs have disappeared. And that's because the gospel is inherently powerful. That's how we know that Christ is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, ruling over us. The gospel has power. It's never just words. They're the power to take you to heaven. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, not because faith is such a big thing. Faith is weak, a flickering candle, a broken piece of glass, but the power of the gospel is the obedience and righteousness of Christ. He who does not believe will be condemned, and that's because the world's going to hell and Jesus is the only way to heaven. We're on the eve of destruction. Jesus delivers us from it. And that's why we treasure his gospel as our greatest gift in this life. Where he is, there we will be. Thank you for being with us this week on Christ for Us. Tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast.